Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, a podcast about bands you probably don't even like.
We hope you don't know this one.
With your hosts, Adam Todd Brown, Andy Sell, and Travis Clark.
Hey everybody, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, podcast about bands you don't even like. But also just about music in general. You know how it goes with podcasts. I am one of your hosts, and my name is Adam Todd Brown. Who else is here?
I'm Travis, the Nookie Monster Clark.
My name is Andrew Sell, but you can call me Andy.
Andy!
No, you can put
extra stink on it at the end.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah. That's nice.
No, I don't like that.
No, I was kind of into it.
Yeah,
you're feeling it. Okay, well, as long as you're feeling it, by all means, keep it up.
I think when it comes to addressing someone, how you feel is what's most important.
That's right,
for sure. What I want to call someone else should be the what's valued.
Spoken like the turf that you are.
Yeah. So I feel like we haven't recorded in a while.
We haven't. That's an accurate feeling.
Yeah. We gotta do this more regularly. We will. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, everybody. We were going to record this episode last week, but Travis is sick.
Yeah, I got the raging case of the vid, which is why I'm in person. Yeah. It's why I'm in person with Andy and Adam to make sure that I can spread this sickness. Are you guys down with the sickness?
Ooh, I am down with the sickness.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we wanted to be in the same room just in case something happens and Travis needs medical attention.
Yeah, so. I really appreciate that. Also,
I just really want another case of the novel Corona Travis.
It's more of short stories. It's not really a novel.
the novella Corona Travis.
I appreciate it.
So this week we are talking about the guy from the Fugees, Fras Michel.
The guy with the motorcycles and loves Spider-Man and he's from Haiti and he does soundtrack stuff.
Are you thinking of Wyclef? That's Wyclef, I think.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
No.
That's another money launderer.
Yeah. Yeah. We are talking about Fras Michel, who, god damn, has he had an interesting life since he left the Fugees. I didn't know anything about any of this.
I didn't either. I feel like I barely even knew he was in the Fugees.
I know three things about Fras: Fugees, the Bullworth song, and he was in Mystery Men. And that's it.
Yeah. He was in Mystery Men?
Yeah, he is a cameo. I think he's one of Casanova Frankenstein's henchmen, if I remember correctly.
And this is the most anyone has ever talked about Mystery Men, ever.
Well, and that's not true.
The Bullworth song, Ghetto Superstar, featuring Old Dirty Bastard and Maya.
That song's great.
Yeah, it's an all right song. Here's the thing. Fras, founding member of the Fugees, also the worst Fugee, if we're talking talent. Let's be honest. Even Wyclef called him whack at one point when they were having a dispute.
Oh, no, not whack.
Well, I mean, that's a silly way to say it, but he was essentially saying, also, this motherfucker I started the Fugees with can't rap.
Yeah.
Because he's not great at it. He's not.
Oh, whack in that sense, not like he's got silly ideas.
I think those could be the same thing.
Well, I mean, I feel like if somebody is like, hey man, I think Nickelback is great. You're like, dude, you're whack. And I suppose you're like, check out this awesome guitar lick. And they're terrible at playing guitar. You're like, your guitar playing is whack. I feel like one is more insulting than the other. Like you're insulting someone's sensibility versus somebody's skill.
Well, yeah, in this case, he was insulting his skill, which is
that's more hurtful
indeed.
Yeah,
well, especially coming from Wyclef, nobody wants Wyclef to be looking down on them. That's not great.
I mean, I feel like you're probably referring to him as a person, but as a musician, Wyclef's not bad. He's a good producer.
Yeah, name another Fugee that went on Celebrity Apprentice and allowed people to do a rap song for a movie. I don't think you can.
Yeah. Was that was Fras, right?
No, that was Wyclef.
Oh, huh. Yeah. I mean, Wyclef's not terrible. Lauryn Hill. I actually think Lauryn Hill is a little overrated. She's got one good album, people, and it came out in 19.
Yeah, yeah.
Calm down. But Praz, for lack of a better way to put it, he's a spy now.
Oh, that is not the typical Fuji career path.
That's not the solo project, usually.
Yeah, most of what we're talking about today comes from a November 27th Variety article by a writer named Tatiana Siegel. We will link to it, of course.
Just a question, Adam. Are all Fuji's spies?
I feel like Wyclef's definitely not.
Okay.
Spy, because he's been sued by the government a bunch.
Yeah.
Leave. Lauryn Hill? I don't know. Probably not. I don't know if she's reliable enough to be a spy.
That's true. That, yep.
Yeah, she's a non-asset. She just never know.
She just doesn't show up to the drop.
Yeah, just shows up to the drop 3 hours late and then gets pissed that the person didn't wait for her.
He had one good piece of recon, and that was in 1990. Okay, so just get over it.
So before we dive into the article, let's rewind to April 2023. That's when the feds announced that Praz had been convicted of, quote, orchestrating an unregistered back-channel campaign beginning in or about 2017 to influence the then administration of the President of the United States and the Department of Justice to drop the investigation of Joe Lau and others for embezzlement and other offenses in connection with the International Strategic and Development Company known as One Malaysia Development Fund, and to send a Chinese national back to China, as well as conspiring to make and conceal foreign and conduit campaign contributions during the 2012 U.S. presidential election.
Whoa.
Ooh, that's a lot.
That is.
He is accused of a lot.
Yeah.
It sounds like spy shit.
And it's a lot over quite a stretch of time, too.
Yeah, bipartisan spying.
Yeah, he's truly reaching across the aisle here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get the investigation dropped. Joe Low, not J-Ho Lau?
No, it's Joe Lau.
Okay, well, it's J-H-O. So I thought that we were talking about Joshua Hump of Queens of the Stone Age. I was very excited.
Yeah, I see how you committed the mistake. So yeah, he was charged with all of that. I think I vaguely remember that happening, but...
I don't remember this. I don't even know who... all of this is new information to me.
What, you know, you don't follow 1MDB?
I thought that was IMDb, and I was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's got... Well, that's where you go to find Praz's Mystery Men credit.
That's where I update things to make sure that anytime Andy Sell was credited as something, his name is Andy.
Exactly. Yeah, that 1MDB, that feels like a miscalculation. That's just going to cause confusion on the world stage.
Maybe that was the plan. If they call it 1MDB, maybe they think that IMDb will accidentally get indicted.
But when you realize it's a one, you're like, oh, that must be like some K-pop band. I don't follow that stuff. That sounds great. Sure.
So his exact charges are conspiracy, concealment of material facts, making false entries in records, witness tampering, and serving as an unregistered agent of a foreign power. He's facing up to 22 years in prison, and his sentencing is in January.
This is like rifling through a file cabinet with a flashlight shit.
The charge that stands out to me is like serving as an unregistered agent of a foreign power. So it's like if you had just registered, this wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, just get AIPAC backing and you'll be fine.
But I think that is actually the case. Let me Google it.
Yeah, can we register as agents of a foreign power? I mean, if there's like, you know, just a submission process, an application.
Is it like a DMV thing? Do you just have to do it every year and get like a little sticker?
To register as a foreign agent under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, FARA, complete the required forms through the FARA website's electronic registration portal.
Okay.
Pay a $305 filing fee.
Not that bad.
Praz, it's $305. You have that.
Register within 10 days of becoming an agent.
Oh.
Easy peasy, baby. Yeah, that's all you got to do. And I'm sure then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, then he'd probably only be facing like 17 years in prison.
Now we just have to shop around for a foreign power that we would like to be agents of. If there's, I'm open to bidding. Like if there's any foreign powers listening to this that want this trifecta as their representation.
Oh, Do we have to form in like an LLC to become a foreign power as multiple people?
It depends on, you know, if we're nonprofit. Are we seasonal employees of the foreign power?
I'm doing this for profit. I'm not trying to. Yeah, come on.
You don't believe in a thing. I get it.
I'm going to be honest. I feel like whether we do this or not all hinges on whether we can register as one agent together or as three separate, because then we're talking the difference between $305 and $915. And
that's a good point.
No, we got to do it together. We have to do it together for tax purposes, because we're not going to be contracting.
Listen, guys, let me tell you, if we can get $1,000 in contracts in the first year, then the first year is just a wash, you know, like it's, you know, we.
Oh, no, it takes, like, for any registered agent of a foreign power, that first year is lost. You're looking at a 3-year plan here before you start seeing profits.
And you can claim losses for 3 years. So you're fine. You know, like, you don't have to be profitable until a certain amount of time.
Well, it depends how the itemization rules change, you know, but
yeah.
We'll see with the new administration. But
more like you don't have to be profitable.
Oh, shit. Look at that.
Segway.
So this Vanity Fair article, through court documents and interviews with Praz himself, provides more details as to what Praz actually did. And holy shit, it really is spy movie stuff. This is one of those stories where you're like, if I saw this in a movie, I'd be like, okay, bullshit. This is a little over the top.
Yeah, but you read it and it's kind of like Man Who Knew Too Little spy shit. You know, it's like it seems like Praz just doesn't know what's happening. People are telling him to do stuff and he's like, sure.
Well, no, I get that. I mean, just the events of this first meeting at this hotel are spy shit. Praz himself feels like he's damn near a tool.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah. It's spies like us.
That whoever decided to use him as an asset was like, I want somebody in show business, but not somebody everybody knows.
Actually, it's kind of like Ishtar, which Warren Beatty was in, who was also in Bullworth, Ghetto Superstar. I'm sorry. Continue.
You've never seen Ishtar.
Yeah, I've never seen Ishtar either. I think nobody has. That was the problem.
I have. It's great.
I feel like this is like saying, I want Jim Belushi to be my asset. You're like, okay. I mean, there's probably better people.
Yeah. So much of this stuff is like people thinking that Praz has certain connections they can use. And it's just like, why is Praz the fucking guy?
I mean, he got this dude a picture with the president of the United States.
Yeah. Okay. But how? I mean, I guess he did it.
Yeah. How? I don't know. But and we'll get to that. So right out of the gate in this article is a story about how Praz met one of the foreign agents he conspired with, a guy named Soon Lee Jun. For starters, Praz is told to go to the front desk of the Four Seasons Hotel in downtown Manhattan and say the phrase banana peel. If someone said that to me right away, I'd be like, all right, well, this is a scam and you're fucking with me. So I'm going to go hit Katz's and eat one of them overrated pastrami sandwiches or something.
He probably honestly thought Ashton Kutcher was behind it.
Yeah.
You've been Prost. The new version of Punk'd where you just play pranks on Prost. Guys, can we go to the Four Seasons and just say banana peel and see what happens?
I think we should. I mean, look, if we're going to be, you know, effective registered agents of a foreign power, we're going to need to start seeing what works.
And then next, he is handed an envelope. He goes to the concierge and says banana peel. The concierge hands him an envelope with a note inside that tells Praz to circle the block twice and then come back for further instructions. I feel like there's a few things happening there. One, maybe we can just walk up to the concierge at the Four Seasons in Manhattan and say banana peel, and he hands us this envelope. And on that trip, we are either confirmed as a legitimate visitor, or we're probably thrown in a van or shot or something on that walk.
I love the idea that the Four Seasons that day, somebody saw something on the floor and they went up to the concierge. I'm sorry, I just want to let you know there's a banana peel on the floor up there. And I just, someone needs to clean that up. And like this thing just kind of kept getting handed to people. People are like going, no, not him. That's not the guy. Like just having the most bumbling Mr. Bean concierge at the Four Seasons would be great. Just always giving it to the wrong person.
I just want to know if they're all like, if there's a rotating list of code words, or if it's always banana peel, or if it's rotating, is it all like Mario Kart weapons?
And if it's rotating, if you just show up every day and say banana peel, is one day the concierge going to be like, today's the day.
Today's the day. You were wrong all the other days. I probably should suspect something since you've been doing this every day for a while, but my job is to hand this to whoever says the phrase, and you said the phrase. So, you know, asking questions is above my pay grade.
This also implies that the Four Seasons is, you know, an asset hub, that like the people who work there.
Yeah, this concierge is involved in something. You know?
You are talking about an American corporation, sir.
We don't do that.
How dare you?
Is this the Continental from John Wick? Is that what we're talking about?
It doesn't not sound like it, because the next thing that happens, he circles the block twice, comes back in, and is ushered into a secret elevator. And the way he describes this, he's like, I know places have separate elevators for celebrities and shit. This ain't that. This is for like assassination risks and heads of state and things of the like.
That's just him being like, guys, I'm a celebrity.
Yeah, I mean, he is, though. He's got...
Well, yeah.
He's got that.
He got... Yeah.
I also love that, like, oh, it's the one used for people who are under assassination risk. And you're like, that's the assassin elevator. That's where you whisk the assassin so they can kill that person.
Yeah, I mean, it probably works different ways on different days, you know?
Yeah, it's whoever says the right catchphrase gets...
Some days people use the Four Seasons to assassinate people, and some days they use the Four Seasons to hide people who might be assassinated.
Yeah.
And Praz could be either one.
Yeah. Seasons change, everybody. Seasons change.
Okay. All right.
And so he's whisked into this elevator. It takes him directly to the penthouse suite. He's let in. He's told to sit down, I'm assuming, or maybe he just stands there. Either way, after 15 minutes, Sun Lijun, the third highest ranking official in China at the time, enters the room, pulls out a fucking email from Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and he and Praz proceed to have a conversation about a pregnant American woman being held in China and what they should do about her.
This is a fucking 70s black exploitation movie.
Yeah.
This is the plot of like Three the Hard Way or something.
This is literally almost, no, it's not exactly, but there's a really great movie from the 70s with Robert Redford called The Hard Rock, where they try and steal this diamond. And in order to hypnotize somebody, they say Afghanistan, banana stand, and it makes them do whatever they want because they've been like, this has that level of believability to it where it's like, I said banana peel, and now I'm talking to this foreign dignitary, and we're going to figure out what to do about this pregnant woman.
What if that's what happened to Praz? What if someone one day was just like, dude, you're not going to believe this. Just hear me out. Don't ask any questions. Go to the Four Seasons in Manhattan and say banana peel to the concierge. And he goes and says it, and hearing himself say it triggers something in his head. And now he's an international spy.
Who's his activation?
Praz-Turian candidate.
Oh, yeah. Often born.
So this meeting is one of the things, when I read that big, long list of charges, this is one of the things they're referring to. This was him, according to the government, trying to influence diplomatic matters on behalf of a foreign country. But the story actually goes back further than this. This was in 2018, this meeting. It happened shortly before Praz got arrested. But according to the Vanity Fair article, this all started when Praz met Joe Lau, a financier who, among other things, bankrolled the film Wolf of Wall Street.
The what?
Yeah.
Which further supports my thoughts that that movie actually does glorify that shit. Because there's no way Joe Lau is like, oh, I'm going to make a movie critical of that guy. This is a guy, we're going to find out later that he like gave gifts to people. He gave Kim Kardashian a $325,000 Ferrari for her birthday or something? Like,
that's nuts.
That's not the actions of a man who doesn't think that the protagonist of Wolf of Wall Street is a cool guy.
Can I tell a quick Wolf of Wall Street side story?
100%.
Back when I worked at my old job where I was directing people who were reading copy about podcasts and so forth, one of my narrators was British, and we were doing an investigatory story about the Wolf of Wall Street guy. And so he's reading the story, and it's about when that guy, what's the Wolf of Wall Street guy's name?
Jordan
Balfour, right?
So that guy, that guy was getting on a plane, and he was like high on Quaaludes and all of that. And it was supposed to be a story about how he was so out of control, he had to be subdued by like four stewardesses. But the way it was written, and this is a British guy reading it, and this is him reading it. And this is, we have like all of these like things in place about like, you can't make innuendo jokes. You can't do things like this in the workplace. So he's reading it and he goes, he was so high, it took four stewardesses to pull him off.
Right?
Yeah, and he goes, does that not mean the same thing here? I just started laughing. That's British for jerk off.
Yeah,
sure is. Yeah, my friend Chris Black, who died a few years ago, he was the hype man for Portugal the Man. And after he died, they made a T-shirt that had all the nicknames he would give himself on the back of it. And one of his nicknames was the Wolf of All Streets, which that's pretty good.
That's great. Yeah.
I love you, Chris Black. And yeah, this guy did just like throw around crazy money. Travis, or we just talked about the car he gave Kim Kardashian. He was just throwing gifts around. So Praz, the way he describes it in this article, he's like, listen, most people don't know billionaires. They don't know how they operate. So hearing, oh, this guy offered me $20 million to get him a picture with Obama. In Praz's mind, he's just like, that's what fucking rich people do.
Yeah, yeah.
And he tells this story about how there's a billionaire on the top floor of the building he lives in New York, in New York City. And this guy decided he wanted a statue in his apartment.
Right.
And the only way to get it in the apartment was they had to cut a hole in the roof and like drop it down in with a fucking crane or a helicopter or something. And Praz is like, that's not that guy's roof. He shouldn't just be able to do that, but you're rich. You whatever it costs, do it. It's fine. So he, I guess, really didn't think it was all that crazy when this guy, again, offers him $20 million to get him a picture with Obama. I feel like, and I don't know how well off Praz is as a result of his music doings.
Yeah.
But I feel like this guy could have started at like 2 million and like, if need be, negotiate up to like 8, but 20, he did that buy it now price. He wasn't looking for an auction.
Yeah, we're not haggling. Yeah. I've got it. Whatever. You know, maybe he also just figured like, you know, I like Praz. I'm a ghetto superstar fan. He's not doing so well. You know, half of this is basically tip.
Yeah. And Praz, to his credit, said he kept most of that money, which implies he gave some of it to someone to get him that picture. So Praz seemingly does have some fucking connections.
I mean, yeah, it's like, it's funny to me because it's like, how does this guy figure Praz is the guy to get him this connection? Does he just go around like every time he meets a celebrity, he's like, hey, $20 million for a pic of Obama and me. And Praz was just the one that happened to know how to make it happen.
I feel like that's the thing, right? If you're starting to hobnob with people who are connected, you know, whatever your thing, I want a photo with whoever, and you offer $20 million, even if I don't know, if someone came to me and said, I want a photo of whoever, and I'll give you $20 million, I will find a way for you to get a photo with that person.
I feel like it probably did happen exactly like that. I feel like they could have just been at a function together, and Praz starts talking to this guy, and this guy's like, so what do you do? Because Praz at one point was a fundraiser for the Obama campaign.
Yeah, he was. He raised $20 million to get a photo.
Well, no, but he's part of his charges is illegal campaign contributions in 2012. So he was connected to Obama in some way because it's just funny to me that Praz is the guy. Because like Obama is a notoriously celebrity-connected politician, probably more so than any other president we've had, even Reagan. He's plugged in. He's friends with celebrities. He is a Hollywood celebrity. He produces films.
Yeah.
He knows George Clooney, Brad Pitt, all these fucking people, but Praz is the one you go to get connected to him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get at is I think this was probably just a random encounter where Praz is like, you know, I did fundraising for the Obama campaign. I know politicians, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's like, oh, shit, I'll give you $20 million if you can get me a picture with Obama.
Yeah, like the week before he offered Amy Poehler $10 million if you could get him a picture with Biden.
Yeah. And Praz is probably like, okay. And I'm assuming makes a fucking phone call and is like, listen, can you get this guy a picture with Obama? He's going to give me money. I'm sure Praz was like, he's going to give me $3 million and I'm going to give you $1.5 million.
Yeah, I'll split it with you 50-50.
I would love it if they were just at some party and they're just talking and people have been drinking.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
And he just goes like, oh, you know the Obamas? I'll give you $20 million if you can get me a photo with him. And Praz is like, mission accepted. I got it.
I love that Seth Rogen is the voice for Joe Lau.
Would you rather I did it a super offensive voice?
No. Seth Rogen is just fine.
Yeah, that will be A-okay.
Yeah.
And it also seems like that's just kind of a blip on the radar in terms of what actually got him in trouble. Because this all has ties to a huge financial scandal that we've mentioned. That scandal, the one MDB scandal, involved $4.5 billion being illegally drained from Malaysia's sovereign wealth fund. And people, Andy, Travis, listeners, you're not going to believe this, but it seems like in this huge sprawling scandal that involves a whole bunch of rich and powerful people, the only person who's going to do any prison time is the least able rapper from the Fugees.
I refuse to believe this because everyone knows that what always happens when there is, you know, a case such as this where a lot of rich and powerful people and institutions are implicated in immoral, unjust, evil behavior is that all of those people are held accountable.
Yes.
And that all of them are punished and that we take a look at the institutions and platforms of power that got us to that position. And then we systemically overhaul and reform things to make a more just and equitable world. That's what always happens. So I find it really difficult to believe this.
Yeah. I also think it's strange that Prost changed his name to Prost the Patsy. I think that was a strange choice.
Blowback superstar, that is what you are.
But Andy, there are obviously, you know, some exceptions to what you're saying, like the Panama Papers. You know how many people got convicted in the Panama Papers? Zero.
No, I refuse to believe it.
Everyone was acquitted. This also, because at least one person's facing some ramifications, this reminds me of the Mississippi welfare fraud scandal. The one where Brett Favre is alleged to have used Mississippi welfare funds to build a fucking volleyball stadium for his daughter's college. Two people went to jail over that. And they were the reporter who broke the story and her editor for not revealing their sources. That's it. No one else got any jail time in that fucking scandal.
I mean, next you're going to tell me Oliver North not only wasn't punished, but went on to be a popular media figure.
Now, that would be crazy.
That would be insane.
I don't recall that.
I think that guy's still in prison.
I don't recall. Good one.
Thank you.
Deep cut.
Deep cut. Very deep cut.
This is a quote from Robert Maloney, a litigator on Praz's legal team. The government needed a prize. They needed a head, and he was low-hanging fruit. End quote. I buy that. I absolutely buy that.
Yeah, Praz is a patsy. 100%. He's being fucking used here.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten to, I think, the biggest clue that he was kind of being set up here. We'll get there.
Also, I really hope Robert Maloney is related to Chris Maloney from SVU.
I hope they're the same person and he just goes by Robert when he's doing his legal work and when he's playing a cop on TV.
Christopher is actually my middle name.
Praz was charged under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, That is a thing that was rarely used in criminal cases until Trump took office. And weirdly, members of his administration were charged under it a bunch. Praz says he was almost charged under the Logan Act, which only two people have ever been indicted under.
Hugh Jackman and Henry Cavill.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Andy, you have some notes here.
Yeah. The two times that people were indicted under or that were charged under the Logan Act were in 1802 and 1852, and neither were convicted. So that's a long time ago and a long time apart. And then I found this funny Googling it is that in 2017, there was interest in invoking the Logan Act against Trump and Michael Flynn because of, hold on to your seats for this, trying to influence Russia to veto a UN Security Council condemnation of, you're not going to believe this, illegal Israeli settlements. And that was in 2016. So that was a while ago. That was the last time I think that somebody was like, oh, let's talk about the Logan Act. Not topical at all.
No, no. What a shock. What a shock. I find this part surprising. The Fed seized $80 million from Praz, which anytime I hear something like that, my first thought is, well, that's not all of it. Like, the government doesn't usually take everything. So Praz has a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, so he didn't need the $20
million? No, that's four Obama photos, guys.
Yeah, he was broke before he met this guy. Just fucking $80 million setting up photo ops.
Yeah, oh, I managed to get Brad Pitt and Oprah to jump in. That's another 40.
He's got a foreign agent photo booth set up at, like, you know, red carpet events. And he's like, all right, $20 million. Who do you want a photo with? Come here.
Yeah, you can register as an agent using an app he set up. Just download it. So
I travel with my own step and repeat.
Fun sidebar. In the course of Joe Lau throwing money around Hollywood, he gifted Leonardo DiCaprio a $3.2 million Picasso and a $9 million Basquiat. Another fun side note. Leonardo DiCaprio testified for the prosecution in Praz's case because...
Oh, that fuck.
Of course he did.
I'm sorry. Is it really called the prosecution? Is that what it's...
the prosecution. Wow. First of all, rude, Leo. Rude.
Yeah.
How could you do that to Praz? Secondly, I think that Leo was going to be in trouble. I think...
Oh, 100%.
Between the Wolf of Wall Street connection and whatever else... Leo is definitely plugged into the Obama camp. So there's no way Joe Lau did not offer that money to Leo at some point as well, which means Leo was probably implicated, which means he probably had to testify to avoid prosecution himself.
Yeah.
And imagine if that had happened. That would be a huge fucking story.
The fine art thing stands out to me because it's such a way to, like, hide money or launder money.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Leo is a washer.
I mean, maybe. I don't know that fucking guy.
Would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. I don't fucking know. Yeah, that he testified against Praz. Fucking gross. That part of this article needs to be amplified a little bit.
I agreed. Yeah. Hey, you want another reason to hate Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
That Rage Against the Machine song, Testify, is about Leo DiCaprio testifying against Praz. That's what the song's about. Now testify.
Yeah, it's from the album Battle of the Flowers of the Killer Moon.
Good movie, though. So
it's okay.
Praz says he and Lau were never really friends, just that he connected Lau to other VIPs also. So, but also it seems like that's the whole problem. The initial indictment against Praz contended that he and Lau illegally conspired to, quote, obtain foreign access to and influence with high-ranking U.S. government officials for financial benefit.
Oh, so a lobbyist.
Yeah, except it's illegal because it's Praz, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, like, he is doing what a lobbyist does, just in a way that the government apparently frowns upon.
Yeah, we're not making money off of this. You're making money off of this. Therefore, it's illegal.
If Praz just had a political action committee, like if he just had, if there was a Praz pack, he would be fine. There would be no trouble at all.
And now I wonder if that is a situation where you would have to register as a foreign agent. If you were lobbying on behalf of the interest of a foreign country, I'm sure that happens. Like there are, I'm sure there are legitimate means for a country to come to us and be like, hey, how about this fucking issue that you're ignoring?
Yeah. It's also weird though, because this stuff with this guy, with Joe Lau, is that he's also not really, like, Malaysia was also investigating him. He was also in trouble there. Like, it's not like he was an asset for their government because he was draining their funds. It's confusing.
But he was doing it here. I think he was a fugitive, basically. Like, he was on the run from
Malaysia. Yeah, he couldn't go back to Malaysia.
Yeah, just FYI, if you're a fugitive, the U.S. isn't the place to go.
No, probably not.
Wait, he was a fugitive? He was a fugie?
Fugitive.
Oh, no. So the problem is he wanted Praz to arrange that photo so he could, like, get in Obama's ear about impending legal issues.
Oh, he just didn't have, like, a wall of, like, celebrities, and he had, like, a spot missing. He's like, I just need that Obama, and I got it all shored up.
No, I think he kind of wanted asylum in the United States.
Probably. Oh,
yeah.
The he was trying to get photo op. I got it.
Yeah. And that is different than lobbying. Like, that's just selling access to government officials on behalf of a foreign agent, and can't do that, I guess.
No.
There goes my summer.
I don't know, man. Bands charge for meet and greets all the time. Why can't politicians?
If we're registered, again, I think that's the whole problem, is you just got to get registered.
It's the goddamn red tape, man. That's what's going to get you every time.
And so then fast forward to the Trump administration, and Lau gets Praz involved in a similar effort. At one point, the two of them take a trip to Hong Kong. This is where Praz first met that Sun Lijun guy, but only after Chinese Communist Party officials seized his passport, blindfolded him, and drove him into mainland China. Spy shit.
So by the time he's doing this banana peel thing, it's old hat to him. Like, he's already, I've been thrown in a van and blindfolded. You can't really rattle me.
Well, I didn't put it in the notes, but at one point, he, I believe, was filming a documentary in Somalia and got kidnapped and was almost sold to, I don't remember the terror group based out of there. I don't want to fuck up the name, out of respect for the terror group.
Yeah, please.
And for one thing, yes, he was filming a documentary because he talked about the cameraman being really scared and, like, what are they going to do? And Praz was like, well, we did get a lot of good footage. And if we die, that might make it back to the United States. So we really accomplished something here. And the guy's like, what? What the fuck? Are we going to die?
I love it. I love it.
Even crazier, they end up getting saved by the State Department. Like, the American government swings into action and keeps them from being sold to a terror group.
It is the power of positive thinking. I just love it.
This is starting to make me think, like, bumbling Praz just kind of coming through. I'm a useful idiot. I'm not that great of a rapper. That's the actual cover. This dude is a full-on asset who just is like, oh, I'm just the like least known member of the Fugees. And it's like, no, man, you're a State Department asset the whole time.
Yeah.
He can turn it on and off.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Wyclef was probably involved in something way back in the day, and the feds were like, all right, we're going to support your freedom and your rap group, but we need you to add this third guy. And Wyclef's like,
he rapped
at all? And they're like,
and they're like, you can never out him. You can never say anything about who he really is. And Wyclef is like, can I say he's whack? Like, not good at the rapping. Yeah, you can say that. Okay, got it.
So during this meeting, China lets Praz know that they wanted the U.S. to extradite a fugitive named Guo Wenghui, in exchange for three U.S. prisoners, including the pregnant woman discussed in the Four Seasons meeting. And it was that meeting that prompted the feds to start keeping an eye on Praz. And here's the thing that makes me feel like he was super duper being set up in a lot of this. When the FBI pulls him in to interview him, he talks to them freely with no lawyer because he was being advised by a guy named George Higginbotham.
That Harry Potter ass name is not that man's name.
Yes, hello. I am George Higginbotham. I am here to advise my clients.
He is a senior congressional affairs specialist at the Department of Justice. And that guy assured Praz that everything he'd been doing was completely legal.
Praz, no need to worry, my dear boy. Everything you've done, completely by the book.
Now, if excuse me, I have to be visited by three ghosts.
Here's a quote from Praz. The one person that I relied on, especially legally, didn't give me the best advice. That's his job. I'm an artist. There's a reason why you rely on your legal counsel. End quote.
You were talking to a Dickens character.
You are really hung up on that name. My God.
I just want to shame the man over a thing he can't control.
The name is funny, but I think that's a huge fucking detail.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially his lawyer saying, yeah, everything you're doing's fine, dude. And if anyone's going to know it's not fine, it's that fucking guy.
What if Praz was like a serial caller of Mr. Higginbotham and just always, is this okay? Can I do this? And like, he calls him at dinner one time. He's like, what? I'm sure it's fine. What you're doing is fine. Don't worry about it. And it was like, that was the one time you should have taken the call serious.
But why doesn't Praz, he's got $80 million. Does he not have his own lawyer?
$80 million that we know of.
I think this guy was acting in that capacity.
Oh, gosh.
He said my legal counsel. And that George Higginbotham guy has been charged in this. He just got like probation or some shit. So I feel like Praz was kind of being set up.
By Higginbotham.
Yeah, by someone. Yeah. And yeah, Higginbotham pleaded guilty to conspiracy to deceive U.S. banks and was sentenced to 3 months probation. He also testified against Praz at his...
I'm sorry, you can be convicted of trying to defraud banks and the punishment is 3 months?
If you're fucking rich white dude, yeah.
Yeah. If you're not a disadvantaged person trying to seek justice against a bank.
I bring this up all the time. There is a true crime documentary out there called The Staircase.
Oh, yeah.
It's about a guy named Michael Peterson who did not kill his wife.
An owl did.
I agree that an owl did it. At one point, he's talking to his lawyer about this test they need to have done to help prove his innocence. And Michael Peterson's like, yeah, that's fine. And he's like, what's it going to cost? And the lawyer's like, $25,000. And Michael Peterson's like, yeah, cool, let's do it. And then he like looks down to his notes and is like scribbling some shit. Then he looks back up and goes, what do poor people do in this situation? Like, that is the $1 million fucking question about our justice system, pal.
They go into the system. That's what they do. They do nothing. They get done too.
If Michael Peterson was poor, he'd still be in prison for killing his wife.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah, Praz has money, but he probably doesn't have George Higginbotham money or whatever the fuck. And if everyone's willing to testify, because if you're trying to make an arrest, you're going to want a big splashy name, but you're not going to get Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, that's just never going to happen. But you can maybe get him to testify. And you can get this fucking Higginbotham guy to testify. No one's going to recognize his name if you take him down. So they all testify against Praz and the government gets to arrest somebody. Cool.
Yeah. And I don't know, a late night talk show host gets to do a monologue joke about it.
Is there any world where he gets pardoned? Is he really like that connected, or do they think that he's going to be the fall guy for this?
I mean, he's been convicted. The only thing that's left is his sentencing, and he's facing 22 years in prison because he was offered a plea deal and turned it down because, again, he felt like everything he was doing was legal because his legal
was
telling him everything was legal.
So then there's no chance for a pardon. They're hanging him out to dry. They're like, nope, bye. You're done. We're turning out. You are being shunned.
I mean, it depends on when his scheduling is or his sentencing is. Because the thing is, when he was first indicted, the Trump administration chose not to go forward with this case, or at least the DOJ under Trump. It was when Biden took office. He's the one that decided to go after Praz and prosecute this case, if you can believe it.
No, Joe Biden furthering a Trump agenda item? Never.
I mean, he didn't further a Trump agenda item. Trump decided not to prosecute.
Oh, I thought Trump was just busy doing other stuff and didn't get to it.
Trump is buddies with Wyclef. So Wyclef is probably like...
In the Wyclef v. Praz feud, Trump is firmly Camp Wyclef and Biden backs Praz. No, the other way around.
Maybe we got this all wrong. Maybe Lauryn Hill was the only original member of the Fugees and Wyclef and Pross are assets. And so Wyclef is like the handler and Pross is the asset. So when now the asset's in trouble, the handler's got to go to the guy in charge and be like, don't prosecute my guy.
I mean, surely, though, it's not just Pross who's getting in trouble for all this stuff. Surely that, like, I know you said that, but like, I mean, what about Joe Lau? I mean, definitely he's in trouble, right?
Joe Lau escaped the U.S. and is believed to be living in China.
Cool. What about Guo?
That Guo guy, the fugitive, he was convicted in the U.S. of defrauding investors of $1 billion.
Oh, okay.
Still on the run, I do believe. Awesome detail. Just another bit of spy shit here. When the feds tried to raid Guo's apartment, it was remotely blown up and most of the evidence against him was destroyed. That's fucking awesome.
I hope Lauryn Hill rigged the detonator.
That is so fucking cool.
But that is such, like, when I've seen that stuff in a spy movie, I'm like, there's no way you can actually do that. Because then you're just living in a place that's always an explosive. And you're like, well, I guess apparently that's an okay risk for some people.
Yeah.
Well, they probably set it up like, I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but.
I mean, I don't doubt that there is a fucking firm out there that if you get on the rich person dark web, they're like, yeah, we'll outfit your house with explosives in case the feds show up. Of course.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Just call it free estimate, you know, 10% off.
I'm taking bids right now to make my home an incendiary device.
We're doing a deal. Now, between now and New Year's, end of the year special, we'll install a free assassin or assassination proof elevator.
Listen, the missus and I are in the middle of a remodel. While we're doing that, could you incorporate your demolition devices into the remodel so they're hidden?
Yeah. You just hop on Angie's dark list.
Yeah. No, we got you. We got you covered. For an extra 20 mil, we'll throw in a selfie with the president.
So Praz's trial apparently was quite the circus also, mostly on account of the lawyer he hired. David Kenner, best known for representing Suge Knight in 2015. That went really well. So I don't know why you wouldn't hire this guy.
I originally read that as David Keckner, and I was like, what's he playing? Whammy! I got a plan here.
He has no experience with white-collar crime. He allowed Praz to testify, which you generally never do because it really helps. I mean, you generally don't have the defendant testify. I don't mean Praz.
Praz specifically. They actually teach that in law school. Is you tend to not want Praz to testify in any case.
But the craziest part, and I'm pretty sure David Kenner has admitted to this, he is alleged to have used an AI-generated closing argument in Praz's case.
I'm sure it just went into like talking about his work with the Fugees and the ghetto superstar. Like, it's just a summation of who he is as a person.
Yeah. And then just somehow talking about a completely different rapper at one point because AI is faulty as fuck.
And then offers a recipe for like nachos. You're like, what?
Yeah. I sell sports cards on eBay from time to time, and they have a thing where you can let AI write the description of your card, and it is bonkers. At one point, I was selling a Coco golf card, female tennis player, and this was like when it was first introduced. I was like, all right, let's see how this works. One of the sentences said, Coco golf played shortstop for the Mets in 2023. All right, AI's taking our jobs.
As everyone knows, Praz was a member of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones in 1975. Would you prosecute the man who wrote Superstition? I think not.
Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
Known for their biggest hit, Shipping Up to Boston. So he has since hired a new lawyer. That part's good. Also, this is legitimately good news. A documentary about all of this is already in the works. Footage of it was screened at the Toronto Film Festival in September because Praz recorded the meeting at the Four Seasons. That takes fucking guts.
Worst spy ever.
Or best.
Yeah, again, not his first time being a patsy, I guess.
Yeah. Did Praz make an enemy in the government? Because I feel like if you're filming that Four Seasons meeting, you might be doing it for the government or for a documentary. Yeah.
Or he's like, here's my 10-year plan. $20 million for photos, but I film all of this and I make an award-winning documentary in like 2024, 25.
Maybe. Also, Idris Elba has approached Praz's people about acquiring the film rights to his story, which...
That's terrific.
I'm very much here for that.
Look, and this story has everything. It has spies. It has Praz. It has exploding apartments. It has AI-generated legal counsel. It has a character with a ridiculous name. It's got everything a movie needs.
I would absolutely watch this movie.
I would too. And I love that Idris Elba was like, oh, you know, everybody was floating around my name to play Bond, and that didn't happen. What if I played a different spy?
Idris Elba plays Praz.
Yeah, 100%.
And then it just turns into a whole spy movie franchise like James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praz will return.
Ghetto Superstar, part one.
Oh, man.
The only way this makes sense is if you view Praz as Idris Elba, where everyone's like, yeah, I want to talk to that guy. He seems awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I hope that movie fucking happens. But there is more in this article that we haven't mentioned. We'll link to it. You should definitely read it. It is a fucking ride. But I think that's our episode, right?
I think so. And this is quite honestly the best thing the Fugees ever put out.
Free Praz. Free Praz.
Oh, what? Why do you say that?
Because I find this more... you just said we would go see this movie. Is there anything that the Fugees put out that you're like, oh my God, I would go watch that movie?
I mean, I saw the Fugees in concert.
I'm not saying they're not a fun band to have seen live in their heyday. I'm saying this is the best thing they put out. This is compelling.
Travis, you are killing me softly with this take.
Yeah, the score is up there. That was a really, really good album.
Yeah.
But yeah, this would be interesting too. Yeah, I saw this... is still maybe the best concert experience of my life. I saw the Goody Mob, the Fugees, and the Roots in concert in a small club in Madison, Wisconsin, the day the score went platinum.
Oh,
whoa.
It was fucking insane. And I think I paid $18 for the tickets.
Remember when that was the thing you could do? That was fun.
The Roots alone, like I've seen the Roots live, and like one of the top 10 acts live shows I've ever seen.
They did. They probably did it when you saw them too. But when I saw them, they did this. They called it Hip Hop 101, where they just played medley of classic rap covers.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so fucking good.
With that live band with all the horns, and it's fucking so good. Yeah.
And what's interesting, I saw an interview around this time. The Fugees and the Roots did not get along because the Fugees also did something like that in their set. And Wyclef was like, what the fuck? Battle of the bands. Like, he was pissed.
Yeah, the Roots are better though, Wyclef.
Yeah, yeah, the Roots are much better band. So that's our episode. Like I said, Travis, Andy, thank you both for doing the pod.
Hell yeah.
What do we have to plug before we get out of here? I will not give you $20 million to listen to my solo podcast in broad daylight, but if I had it, I would. That podcast is back. It's very good. The two most recent episodes, one is about how a Christian Dior handbag led to martial law in South Korea.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is about how those New Jersey drones are not a fucking mystery. Stop it. It's the military.
It's just what the government's going to start killing us with.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll know it's the government when there's one hovering over your house with a Department of Justice logo.
Yeah. The next time a CEO gets popped, those are going out. Yeah.
I want to see Praz riding one of those, like a motorcycle. Just
yeah. So That's all I got to plug. Go listen to that. What else do we got to plug? Travis, what do you got?
I think Marvel Move is having a big holiday sale. If you wanted to jump on that for the new year and have an audio drama that is superhero driven to motivate you to go running and so forth, check that out. I play Nightcrawler in that. And if you want to follow me on the social medias, I'm done with Twitter. I'm off of that. So you can follow me. I'm Travis Clark on Blue Sky. I think most of you that are interested already follow me there. But if you're interested, that's where I'm at.
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Blue Sky, too. Andy, what do you got to plug?
I don't know. Follow me on Blue Sky, I guess, if you want. I don't really do much there. Like, I don't do much on the other ones. But sure, follow me. Oh, look good for the boys. We got more episodes coming where we got we're in our Christmas horror section of the year. And that's pretty fun. Nice. I think that's it. I got nothing else going on. Free Palestine. Fuck the police. Hail Satan. Free prize, baby.
Free prize.
Come on. And I think that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Travis, say goodbye.
Oi. Thanks, everyone. Good boy.
Andy, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Banana peel.
What?
Oh, no. I've been activated.